before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all, yes, Jesus. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, oh, we worship you, Lord. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. We praise you. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Amen. I'm excited today to introduce a guest pastor to come and speak today here at Finish Line. A wonderful pastor, pastored for many years, but just planted a new church in Tennessee. You're right outside of Nashville, correct? Yeah, it's called the Remnant Revival Center. How about that name? I like that. We do have a remnant of people, right? The called out, the ecclesia, praise God. Amen. We're not lost. Hallelujah. We're not the goats. We're sheep. And we hear his voice and we know where to follow. And then revival, praise God. We need revival in this land. We need somebody that's going to stand up and stand for truth and stand for that. And so I tell you what, I cannot announce and give him all the accolades that he's got like 5 weekly broadcasts. He's online. He's got a show called Firepower with him and Mario Murillo. He's got his own show. It's called the Todd Coconato Show. They said, how do you say his name again? When I first got here, and they were like, we've been calling him Coconut and all kind of stuff. And I said, just don't say it to his face, please. You know, he's a guest. Don't tick him off before he gets up to preach. Amen. But he's an awesome man of God. He's traveled all over, and we're excited to be able to have him, his family, his mom and dad are here. Pastors, friends, I don't even know who you got your own entourage. This is actually quite impressive, brother. It's like, which one's your bodyguard? I need to know to make sure I don't make him upset. Amen. Glory to God. So I would love for you to help give my friend Todd Coconato, Pastor Todd Coconato, a big Finish Line. God bless you as he comes to preach the word of God. Amen. Let him know he's welcome here.
Hello, Finish Line. Wow. We've had church already today, haven't we? How many of y'all got tears in your eyes, felt the presence of the Lord already? Woo, come on. The fire of God is here, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, you have some awesome pastors. I know you know that, but I'll tell you, we go to a lot of places. My wife, Michelle, is here, and we'll tell you, not everybody's a shepherd. You have a shepherd, a teacher, a pastor. He loves you. I can see, you can see the love. It's so apparent, him and his beautiful wife, and just amazing. So we're so honored to be here. We're honored to be here. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I was up, you ever have those nights where the Lord wakes you up at like 3 a.m? And my wife will attest to this. I did not sleep from like 3 to 6 tonight. So, because the Lord was shifting and changing the message around. And I really believe he's given me a word for this group and anybody that's in earshot of this message. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your presence and your glory that's so tangible in this place. We can just feel your presence. And I know that this is the reason why this nation is still here, because there's a praying remnant. There's a church that's praying and seeking your face, that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And so, Lord, today I pray you'd give me an unction of your spirit, that you'd sanctify me, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, and that we would get what you would want us to get this morning. And we just give this rest of the time in your word to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 If you got your Bible, you go ahead and turn to one of my favorite scripture sets. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. This was the Lord speaking to me when I was sitting there in worship, and it's going to be an add-on to the message because it's just something that's marked my life in Isaiah 6. I relate to the prophet Isaiah, and I'll explain why in a minute, but if you could turn there to Isaiah 6, and we're going to start right there at verse 1. It says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. And the seraphim stood about him, each having 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called out to another and said this. He said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while in the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, and which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth, and with it said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Look at your neighbor and say, send me. Send me. Boy, isn't this the call in this hour? Being in the presence of the God of heaven and earth, and then being undone in the presence of the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, there's nothing else you can experience if you're in the presence of the Lord other than being undone. And so it's pretty easy and simple at that point, because he saw the Lord seated on the throne, the train of his robe filled the temple, and all he could say was, send me. And I believe the Lord is calling this congregation and this people to stand in this city more than ever before, and to go out, because there are history makers in this room. He gave me a word. He said, there's Davids and Esthers in this room. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we do, I want you to go to one more set of scripture here in Acts chapter 2, one of my other favorite scripture sets. Acts chapter 2. Why is it one of my favorite? Because this is when the fulfillment of the prophetic came into motion, and the Spirit of the living God descended upon the people. And I want to just get this right now. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a voice from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I'm going to tell you something. Some translations say they were in one accord, because they were in one accord. And something happened. It said, suddenly there came like a rushing wind, a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and then appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, as they rested each on one another. And they were all filled with, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. You know that this set of scripture right here was what was being read when the Azusa revival broke out. Because it's so powerful. And if you think of what it is, this is available to us as believers in Yeshua, the Spirit of the living God. So let's just take these two and put them together. So there's Isaiah in the presence of God. He's undone. And all he could say was, send me. And then in Acts chapter 2, the suddenly came like a mighty rushing wind when the saints of God were in one accord together. Something happened in worship today, Pastor. When the folks were coming down, I'm going to tell you something. Thank you. Thank you for coming down here. I wish every altar in the United States of America would be full. We've got to bring back the altar services. We've got to talk about the blood of Jesus, the cross of Calvary. We've got to talk about repentance of sin. This is what turns up the fire. We need the fire in America. When you've got the fire of God, it doesn't matter if you slept 1 hour. You don't need a Red Bull. You got the Spirit of God. And nothing more powerful than that. God wants to see the altars filled. You know, I'm going to tell you, I've been involved in different spheres of influence. And one of them is the political realm. And they say, Pastor, don't get involved in politics. It's like the no-no, don't do it. But I believe that we're called to occupy until he comes. And it didn't say, but in politics, don't go there. You got to go to all. Because the problem is, the reason why we got to where we got as a country is because the church retracted and we went within the four walls and we let a real radical group of people that honestly were nothing less than demonized go out there and try to steer the ship. But something has shifted in this era, as you've seen lions and generals that are standing up. And that's why there's a shift happening even in the ecclesia and the body right now, where people are looking and saying, well, I can't get behind you because you shut down for like a year, but I can get behind you because you stood. And people are looking for lions that will stand. So God used this whole thing. Have you seen this? I think it was all orchestrated. It was all planned because we couldn't keep going on like we were going. The whole seeker-friendly, don't preach the entire Bible. Yeah. I pastored in California. We were a hop, skip, and a jump from Hollywood. My family's here. We all pastored there. And I'm going to tell you something. We would see church pastors. We'd go to Bible studies, and we'd go to prayer meetings in the city, and certain people would say, well, we don't talk about that part of the Bible. Is that true? We don't preach that part of the Bible. I'd say, what do you mean? I'm going to tell you something. I know you get it from your pastors here, but we will cover every single part of the Bible because guess what? I didn't write it. I'm just a messenger. But we're going to talk about marriage between a man and a woman. We're going to talk about what God has ordained. Why? Because the truth sets the captive free. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of people were saying, well, Romans 13, and I know Romans 13 very well. Trust me. I've looked at it many, many times just to make sure. But here's the thing about Romans 13. There's something about this. Yes, obey government. Of course, be a good citizen, all those things. Except for when the government tells you to go against the word of God. And if the government tells you to go against the word of God, you stand firm on the word of God. Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And this is what the country needs. It needs salvation. It needs the fire. It needs the anointing. And so, yes, I will get involved in politics and all that, but I've found this in this whole journey is that it's not going to be a political figure that's going to save America. God will use people. He will anoint people. Praise God. We will stand for our values. We will stand for biblical values and principles. And we will go to the community board meetings. And we'll go to the school board meetings. And we'll get involved. And we will occupy. But guess what? God has put the spotlight in this time on the church. And he says, what are you going to do? And we have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to pull down the strongholds. That's what it says in the scripture. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against strongholds and principalities. How many know that to be true? And so I want to talk about David and Esther, because this is what God's put on my heart. I believe it's a word for now. I believe there are Davids and Esthers, and we're going to break down a little bit about David's persona and Esther's persona, because here's the thing about David. He was not a perfect man. But God referred to him as a man after God's heart. Why? Because he was a good repenter. How many good repenters do we have in this room? I'm telling you, my wife will tell you, we had a guy from one of the Think Green on the phone the other day. They charged us a charge that we shouldn't have got charged, and we were both hot about it, okay? We got on the phone, and I had to call the guy back and say, brother, I shouldn't have yelled. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. I didn't like that extra $75 charge that I wasn't told about, okay? Do we make mistakes every day? We do. But God is looking for a people that have a heart to represent him in a way that honors him. In a way that when the Holy Spirit convicts us, that we will do just what those did this morning, and we will come up here and we will get on our face and we will repent before the living God. And we will do everything we possibly can to walk out in a righteous manner. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the thing. He is looking for those that will trust him. And he's looking for those that will serve him. And what does he say? Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we've got to guard the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've got to. And that's how you do it, is you live in a consecrated manner. That means repentance. What is repentance? It's turning. Turning from that past lifestyle. I was a child actor in Hollywood. My testimony is long, and I can't get into all of it today, but I'll give you the real short version. But I partied. I was in the world. I was on my way to HELL. It was bad. Okay? I got real, real messed up and caught up. And I was hanging out with the young Hollywood crowd, and I was going to clubs, and I was drinking and all this stuff, right? But God got a hold of my life. And then for 2 years, I tried to find Christian friends, and I told my wife this the other day. I said, you know, the thing about my testimony is, like, I wasn't like a loser in the world where I was like, oh, you know, it was actually going well according to the world's standards, but it wasn't going well according to God's standards. I was like a frog in a pot that was boiling. You see what I'm saying? But according to the world, it was successful. I was making good money. I was hanging out with people that they would consider successful people. I mean, it was looking good to the world, but there was a huge void in my heart. And so when God started getting a hold of my life and I started serving the Lord, it was a 2-year weird period. I call it like the Christian dark ages. It's like you don't want to hang out with your worldly friends, because you got to get away from them, because you know if you go there, you're going to be influenced. You're going to go back into it. But at the same time, you haven't quite made Christian friends yet, so you're kind of just standing there. And so for 2 years, I stood in the foyer of a church, and the only people that said hi to me were the greeters. And I would try to look the part, and I'd come in, and, you know, and but thank God there was like this one guy that started discipling me, and I really don't think I'd be here if it wasn't for him. I really don't. Praise God for him. One guy that I could relate to. Thank you, Jesus, okay? And but even then, 2 years went by, and here's what happened. The enemy was in my ear, and so one night I decided to go. Yeah, it's just one night, and I'll go hang out with my old friends. It's one night. So I leave the gym in Granada Hills, California, and I go to hang out with my old friends, and I go through this apartment complex there, and there was a guy that I believe was on crystal meth. He was totally whacked out of his mind. And he opens the door of this apartment building, and before I could even think about what was going to happen, he came out with a kitchen knife about this big and proceeded to stab me 9 times. And one of them was in my heart. In fact, the first one was in the heart. So here I am. I could fight. I grew up in LA Unified School District. There's your share of fights there. It's just the way it is. So I could fight, but by the time you get stabbed in the heart, it's kind of done at that point. You know. So I fell to the ground, and this guy that stabbed me actually picked me up, put me in my vehicle, which was so wild because I think he kind of realized, you know what, I'm going to be a murderer and I better not let this guy die after I just stabbed him. And he actually drove me to the hospital. On the way to the hospital, I went in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord said, do you want to live or do you want to die? I said, I want to live. So what else do you say when the Lord asked that question? And he spared my life. I woke up in the hospital, and but here's the questions he said. He said, if you live, you got to do this. You got to tell people that I'm real. And you got to be sold out for me for the rest of your life. God's honest truth. It was an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord. I relate to that Isaiah chapter 6. And so 26, 27 years later, I'm here to tell you, I'm still on fire for the Lord. In fact, more than ever, and God is real. So this is the reality of the world. And once we get past that, because that's one of the biggest questions in life, is God real? I mean, because if he is, then we got to serve him. Well, I'm here to tell you, he's real. And if you follow the principles of scripture and you follow the word of God, you're going to see that because you're going to be blessed. And even in the trials, because I'm not going to tell you there's not warfare. Oh, there's warfare. But he'll get you through every single time. I'm telling you, every single time. Because I am still here and you are still here, despite what you've walked through, despite how difficult some of the things have been. King David was similar. He fought a lion, he fought a bear. He was prepared. Some of you have been prepared, and you say, why did I go through that? And I'm going to tell you, that very thing that almost took you out but didn't take you out is going to be the very thing that God turns around for his glory. I don't care if it's an abortion and a divorce. I don't care if it's a past drug addiction. Listen, if you've repented and you've laid that down before the Lord and you've turned from wickedness and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he will do what he said he will do, which is he will turn around what was meant for evil and use it for good. And he is calling prodigals and he's calling misfits and he's calling the least likely. And David was the least likely. Let me tell you about him. He's an iconic figure in the Bible, one of the most talked about in the Bible. He was a shepherd boy. He was a warrior. He was a poet. And eventually, the second king of Israel, he was chosen by God. He defeated the giant Goliath. He became close to King Saul. He forged a deep friendship with Saul's son, Jonathan, who ended up being like his right hand. And then he burned him, right? But despite facing the trials and persecution, he displayed unwavering faith and reliance on God. He often expressed in his heartfelt psalms. His reign marked a significant era of expansion and military success, prosperity for the nation and the people of Israel. And although he faced personal failures and challenges, his legacy endures as a symbol of both flawed humanity and the capacity for spiritual growth and redemption. Why did God favor David? Because he was that repentant man. There was an anointing and a calling on his life. The Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. We're supposed to say yes, like Isaiah, send me, send me. And I think one of the biggest things that holds us back is that we doubt God, we doubt ourselves. You know, look, some of you got big callings. I'm going to tell you straight up. And you look at your own shoes and you're like, I don't even know how I'm going to fill those shoes. You know what, though? Just take it one step at a time, one day at a time. The Lord will take you from glory to glory. Wake up in the morning, say, Lord, what can I do today for you? In each season, just press ahead. If you're in a mountaintop season, great. If you're in a valley season, keep walking forward. It's almost over. Your trial's almost done. God's going to use it. He's training you. If he's brought you, listen, I don't know an anointed preacher. I'm going to tell you, hear this. I don't know an anointed preacher that walks in the glory and presence of the Lord. I'm talking the folks that when they walk in the room, that you could see the mantle. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen that? You can see the mantle of anointing. You know the atmosphere shifts. It's not them. It's the Spirit of God and the anointing and the mantle that they carry. But why is that? I'm going to tell you why. Because they've been through it. I always say, you see the glory, but you don't know the story. By the time you've walked through all those things, it cannot even be about you. There's no way it can be about you and building your own kingdom. I'm going to tell you, when you've been through all that stuff, all you can do is say, thank you, God, I'm still here. And use me. That's what Isaiah felt. Let me tell you about Esther. Esther was another notable figure in the Bible. She was a Jewish woman who became the queen of Persia during the Babylonian exile. Her story is documented in the book of Esther. And I'll encourage you, if you've never read it, read it. And it portrays her as a courageous and resourceful individual, chosen as queen after a beauty contest. Esther's pivotal role emerged when she risked her life to thwart a plot by the king's advisor, Haman, to annihilate her people, the Jewish people. And with the guidance of her uncle, Mordecai, and driven by her faith and the calling on her life, Esther approached the king unsummoned, which was a no-no, by the way, to plead for the survival of her people. And her bravery and the strategic actions resulted in Haman's downfall and the salvation of the Jewish community. And the narrative reflects themes of divine providence, courage, and the power of standing up. There's something so significant about standing. In fact, the scripture says when there's nothing else left to do, stand. Why is God calling his church, his body, his ecclesia, the hands and feet, the arms and legs, the representatives of him, the salt and the light? Why is he calling in this hour to stand? Because it is critical, crucial, and important that the people of God take our positions. In 2 Chronicles 20, God went before the army of Israel. He went before them and he fought their battles. But what did he require them to do? Take their positions and stand. And I believe the Esthers and the Davids that are listening to me right now, if you can relate, if you're somebody who's flawed, if you're at least likely, if you think, how can I possibly fulfill this calling? How can I do what God has put on my heart to do? But you know there's a passion inside of you. There's something inside of you that's saying, you got to do this. And you wrestle with it. And you've been through some stuff and you look at your life and it's imperfect. Your life is not perfect. Listen, I'm going to tell you, that's exactly the way it needed to be. I know that's difficult. But you wouldn't be who you are now if you didn't go through what you went through. Nothing you have been through is going to be wasted. I'm going to say it again. Nothing that you've been through is going to be wasted. I hear people all the time, they say, Pastor Todd, the world is just crazy right now. Look at the situation in our world. My goodness. You know, it's so evil. It's so wicked. You know, even the government's now starting to persecute in the West Christians. I just, you know, went through some stuff the last couple of years. I mean, we've had to get lawyers and all kinds of crazy. We have an organization called the Religious Liberty Coalition that actually defends religious liberty and freedom. Why do we need that in a country that was founded by forefathers that literally say that they you know, it's our rights are given to us by God, not by government? I'm going to tell you, and it's not going to be a happy answer, but it's because the church retracted and we stopped standing. And so there's a shifting in the message because God is coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle. He's coming back for a warrior class believer that is going to be willing to stand even when it's tough, even when there's opposition. And so we are learning how to survive in the fire because guess what? There's another one in the fire. We will not bow down to the idols of this world. They are trying. Look what they try to do. They want you to bow down. Just don't preach this. Just don't talk about this. They're deeming aspects of biblical Christianity hate speech. Yes. There's lists. I've seen them. I think I'm on a couple of them that some of these organizations are putting out, and they're saying, this is a hate preacher. What's hate? It couldn't be more love than what we're talking about. It's the greatest love of all. We're talking about agape, a pure form of love from God. And yet the world is upside down, inside out, and they call what's evil good and what's good evil, and that's where we're at. And so the hour is extremely late. And so God just told me recently, I'm going to tell you, it was so hard. He called me to the carpet. You know, I preach about a lot of things, Pastor Shannon. I preach about that God can heal the sick. Amen. I preach about, you know, by his stripes we're healed. You know, I preach about the miracles that the Lord perform many, many. And then the Bible says we're going to be able to do even greater things. Have you seen that scripture? Even greater things. Have you read the miracles that Jesus did? He did a lot of miracles. He healed blind, he healed lepers. You know, he raised people from the dead. And then it says we're going to do greater things. So God called me the carpenter. He said, preacher, he said, do you believe what you preach?
Come on.
And here's where it hurt. He said, if you don't believe what you preach, you need to get out the pulpit. Now, even though I do believe it, I was taken back because I had to process it. You ever been there? It's a process. Because what he's saying to me, and this is what he's saying, is if you go to a meeting and somebody comes forward with stage 4 cancer, do you believe that I will heal them? Because I am ready and willing to do it, but you've got to believe that I'm able to do it. There's a story, it's a wild story, but we just heard about this. There was a guy, and so, you know, it's a little bit different way of healing, but he had a stage 4 lung cancer, and the Lord put an unction on him to take a pet dewormer. Have you heard this story?
Yeah.
And so the guy takes the pet dewormer, and the stage 4 cancer goes away. Look, God will use different things. I'm not, you know, everything, maybe not instantaneous. I don't know, he does different things. I have a brother that's special needs. The Lord has promised us he's going to heal him. It's big faith. It's big faith. Because with the faith of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. But imagine if we have big faith. Imagine if we just step out and say, yes, I do believe this. And that's what I had to come to that place, because otherwise I had to get out the pulpit. He said, do you believe it? So we are believing, and I'm saying this to folks in this room. If you have a diagnosis, by the end of this message, I would love for you to come forward, and we want to lay hands on you. Because I believe we serve a God. Listen, this is the God that spared me of how many stab wounds? 9. 1 in the heart. And I went into his presence. And so either I believe this or I don't. And I'm going to tell you, I have a resume. I was bivocational for many years as a pastor. There's other things I could do. And I'm going to tell you, it could be a lot less stressful, by the way. Other jobs out there that I could probably make more money and have less stress. But the truth is that I have to do this, because I really believe if I didn't do it, I wouldn't be fulfilling the call that God's put on my life. And so I have to believe when I'm preaching. I have to, look, I wrote a book, and look, I'm very shy about talking about this book, because for many years I was like, I don't want to write a book. The only reason why I wrote this book is because the Lord came to me in a very powerful either dream, or I don't know if I was actually awake, but I was in my bed. It was so real. It could be real. I'm not sure, but it was real either way, but it was a prophetic dream, or I was awake. I don't know, but all I know, I was in my bed with my daughter, who's 4 years old. She sleeps in our bed sometimes, and then my wife, and in that dream, or maybe it was awake, I saw a messenger angel, and the angel said 2 things, said, come out from among them and be consecrated. This was 2 years ago. Now, I'm not one of these people that just says these types of things, okay? If I say it, I say it with fear and trembling. The only other time in my life that I have had a similar type of experience is when I got stabbed 9 times. And 20-something years went by, and I hadn't had an experience like that. And then 2 years ago, in the middle of the whole COVID thing and everything that was going on, the Lord met me in this prophetic dream, or even when I was awake. It was exactly my room. It was like, I don't know. I was there afterwards. I walked out. I was undone like Isaiah. I went into my prayer closet. I left my wife because I didn't want to wake her up. So I went in the room and just prayed for hours. I didn't go back to sleep that night. And then for months and months and months after, I was just contemplating and trying to understand. The messenger angel said 2 things. Come out from among them, be consecrated. Now, I'm a pastor of many, many years, and I would hope to God that my life is consecrated. And so I'm like, why would God say this to me? Why? What do you mean, be consecrated? Come out from among them. And I started just asking the Lord, inquiring of the Holy Spirit, and asked the Lord. And that's what this book documents. And it tells a strategy of the end time church and what we must do. Because see, here's the thing, is the devil is trying to trick us, discourage us. You watch the mainstream corporate media for more than 10 minutes and you will be depressed. Yes. There will be a depression that will try to come on you. There's a defeatism. They want us to feel defeated, like there's no hope, like there's no, the devil's already won. We don't have a chance. It's all over. So many people come to me, they say, Pastor Todd, just prepare us for the end times because it's done. I know a lot of people, and listen, I'm a prepper. I'm not saying I'm not, but I know people that are in bunkers and getting ready right now, and they just go out in the middle of nowhere, and that's it. And I really believe that even though that's important to have, be prepared, I have nothing wrong with that, but God wants us to go out and make disciples of the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're not to be separate in that way. We're meant to go out and stand and push out the darkness, pull down the strongholds. There's a word in the Greek, it's like balo, it's go out, cast out, drive out, and that's what Christians are meant to do. When we go out, not only do we go out, see, it's in the Greek, you got to look it up because there's more to it. When it says go and make disciples of the nations, it's actually saying go out, cast out, and drive out. That means deliverance. That means casting out the demons. That means walking in the authority of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture that says, I know Peter, I know Paul, but who are you? I don't want to be a who are you. Well, how am I a Peter and a Paul? That means I got to walk in the anointing. I got to be set apart. I got to be consecrated. Because they know. Now, thank God the devil can't read our mind. He doesn't know. He's not omnipresent, omnipotent like the Lord. But the demonic and the demons and the devil, they do see what you long gaze at. Hear me on this. You know, I was in Hollywood, and there is a certain mouse that everybody follows. You know what I'm talking about? The little amusement park, and they got the channel and everything. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, for years, I've known that that brand is wicked. Some people are not going to want to hear this. I was in Hollywood. I saw it firsthand. I had people that I know that were part of the machine. I saw what happened to their lives. And so for years, I've known this brand is wicked. And I am so thankful that now even governors are calling out this brand. And the church is finally waking up. We're finally understanding. We've got to come out from among them. When these companies are activists and pushing all this nonsense, this wickedness, we can hurt them if we don't shop there. We don't have to participate in the Babylon system. The church has authority. And so that's what the angel was saying. He's saying, come out from among them. Yes, the hour is extremely late, but we're not done working. Because if we're here, we're here for a purpose. And America is still here. Why? Why is America still here? Because God's not done with America. That's why. There is a praying remnant in this country that is interceding and that is on their face and that is crying out. And this is what God wants us to do. Because if we make it about souls and the kingdom business, God will give us everything we need. How many know that? Somebody in this room has been dealing with financial challenge. I want to speak to you right now about this. Financial challenge. If you make it about souls, the Lord will provide every need you have. I guarantee you. Why? Because he's not out of resources. He's not out of resources. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He operates in his own economy. It's called God's economy, not the earthly economy, not the American economy. And so he will take care of us. Listen, the world could be in a tanking season. The economy could be going down on CNBC or whatever. Kramer could be out there freaking out. Oh my gosh, it's a total disaster. But the Christians that are blood-bought church can be prospering and can operate under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the church can be growing and taking back the territory for the kingdom of God. And we are the blood-bought church. We are the fired up church. Come on. Hallelujah. Esther's and David's. I haven't even got to like half this, but I'll condense it here. In Esther 4:14. It says this, Esther 4:14, it says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. Wow. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Yes. The Esthers in this room, listen up. I feel like Lou Engel right now. The Esthers in this room. There's Esthers in this room. Yeah, if you know who he is, you know what I'm talking about. But seriously, there are Esthers in this room that are called for such a time as this. And you have a message. God has given you a message. And I'm not saying to get ahead of the Lord. Don't get ahead of the Lord. But at the same time, you've got to walk into that. Listen to what he said to Esther. If you keep silent at this time, it's going to arise from someone else. I'm not out of resources. Don't get me wrong, God's saying. But you and your father's house will perish. That's how significant the call is. Let that sink in for a minute. 1 Samuel 13:14, it says this. 1 Samuel 13:14. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a prince over his people. Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People are trying to say, oh, the word means, you know, they're trying to change the word. Have you seen this? We see it on the online forums. My wife's on some forums in Nashville, some moms in Nashville, and they got these things, and they try to say, well, the Bible didn't really mean that. And they're trying to say, oh, well, actually, it was changed in 1967, and all these ridiculous narratives. Do you think God doesn't know what's in the Bible? Yeah, come on. You think he made a mistake? They're trying to convince us he made a mistake. He made a mistake with genders. No, he did not. He didn't make a mistake. People want pastors to cave and capitulate in this hour. Well, if you just accept, you got to accept because love is love. Love is not love. God is love. His truth, her truth, that truth, this truth. No, there's only one truth. It's his truth. The truth. That's the only truth. This is the truth. The basic instructions before leaving earth. We don't hate the sinner. We hate the sin. Esther 2:7 says this. He was bringing up Hadassah and that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither a father nor a mother. This young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. She was chosen, she was called, but her life was not perfect. Esther's in this room. Listen to this. Her life was not perfect. I want you to understand that because, listen, I've been around the church for a while. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I would have probably left that. I've been hurt in the church. I've seen stuff in the church. I've been around for a while, okay? I've seen a lot. You know why I'm still here? Because the Lord said a long time ago, he said, man is going to let you down, but you have a relationship with me. It's you and me. And that's how you sustain in the long term. Because people put it on people. You notice that? They put it on a person. Like, oh, this person. And you look, I'm not saying there's not elders and very solid men of God. Thank God there are. But I'm just saying our relationship is between the living God and us. It's a daily relationship. We have a prayer life. It's an active prayer life. We get into the Word of God. We get to know Him better. Faith comes from hearing from the Word of God. So in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says this. David, now I'm talking about. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or in the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. A man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. What is God trying to tell us there? First of all, he knows what's in our heart. He knows what we're thinking about. When he said, come out from among them, be consecrated, that means everything. Let me look, Pastor Todd. If you're watching a movie and it's got something bad in your home, you're opening a door. If you're participating in something that you shouldn't be, if you're doing any of those things, that's the open door of the enemy. He uses that. People wonder, how does it get to be like, you know, where does it starts? It looks good. He comes as an angel of light. This is why we have to have discernment. It is so critical for a Christian to have discernment in this hour and the anointing of God. And this requires relationship and to hunger and thirst. We've got to love God more than we love the sin. That's hard. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Again, we're not going to attain perfection in this world. We're not going to do it, but we're going to do everything we can to live a righteous lifestyle, an integrous lifestyle, a lifestyle that pleases the Lord. He looks at the heart. They were unlikely heroes. I'll just give two more verses here in Esther 4:16. It said, go and gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night and day. And I, my young women, will also fast as you do. And then I will go to the king. And though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. There's that Romans 13 thing I was talking about. Look, when you stand for the Lord, you're good. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they would not bow down to the idol, but there was another one in the fire. That's what God's looking for. People that are willing to stand, that are willing to trust the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. This is it. This is where we're at right now. It's not a time to be messing around. But He's called us by name. Think about this. Some things only through prayer and fasting. We've got a war. We've got a war. We've got to pray. Pray without ceasing. The faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Pray, pray, pray. Pray until something happens. Pray, stand, pray. Believe, trust. Know who you are. You know, I see a lot of Christians that are coming up to me around the country and they say, oh, I just feel so defeated. Look at what's happened. I'm so defeated. I see it so much. It's people just coming. It's like, you know, their tails between their legs. And I'm not trying to mock or knock anybody. Look, we've all been there. What I'm trying to say is, though, look, we've got to understand we are on the winning team. Like, we already know how this thing ends. You know how it ends. We know how it ends. It is written. We are going to rule and reign for all eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. We're just passing through. The Apostle Paul said it. When he wrote the scriptures and the letters, he was writing to the Philippian church and he was in jail. But he was joyful because they couldn't get in his head. To live as Christ, to die as gain. We're just passing through in this world. But we are on the winning team. When we start acting like winners and when the church realizes the authority that we have and we walk in that authority, let me tell you something, that is the devil's worst nightmare. Could you imagine if the body of Christ were to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the unction of the Holy Spirit, with discernment, were to use the armor of God, which has one offensive weapon, it's the sword of the Spirit. If we were to pray and fast and seek the Lord and pull down the strongholds and go out and cast out and drive out, imagine what would happen to this territory. And you have a church that does that. And there is an altar where there is a flowing stream right here, where you can come where the river of living water. There's a river. Somebody in this room needs to do that today. It's time to go all in. Esther's and David's. Imperfect people, but called. Chosen. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. If you've been through some stuff, that means that God knew that you were going to stand anyways. He won't give you more than you can handle. I know people try to say, where does it say that? It does say that. It's just a little bit different, but it says it. He's not going to give you more than you can handle because he knows. There will never be a sin that he will give you that you cannot overcome. Amen. Nothing. What happened when Jesus was taken into the wilderness? He was promised all the world and all the power and everything. The devil uses the same tricks on him that he's used on many of us. Trust me, when I walked out of Hollywood, I'm going to tell you something. I had the red carpet rolled out. I mean, it was like the VIP of VIPs were calling me up. Hey, just come on out, Todd. We haven't seen you for a while. It was like everything that I ever wanted when I was in the world. They tried to roll it all out. But I knew if I went back to that, it was done. I'm telling you, I have pictures of my friends. My mom has seen this. We have pictures where there's like five of us and like four of the people other than me are dead. Overdosed. Killed. And at one time, they were at the top of their game. But it was like that frog in a boiling pot. If you were with Jesus Christ, you are always on a steady way up. Doesn't mean that it doesn't go like this sometimes, but you are headed up. You are walking in victory. You are on the winning team. God has called you. Yes, oh, I'm not perfect, Pastor. Well, neither am I. But you're called and you're chosen. And he knew what he was doing when he brought you in the world at this time. And I just believe so strongly, and that's why God had me up, Pastor, in the middle of the night. I'm telling you, this group is powerful. 12 people changed the world. 12. There's more than 12 in this room. There's anointed and appointed saints in this room. And not only is this territory going to be taken back, I'm telling you, it's like the streams are coming together. You know what I'm talking about? They're coming together. The streams, there's an undercurrent of revival. Mario and I have been talking about this. We've seen it. He's about to do a massive crusade in the LA fairgrounds. And we're going to do a firepower right there live. You know what? It's full circle for me. This is my old stomping ground where I used to party and do drugs. And now we're going back and we're putting up a massive tent and we're going to take back the territory in Los Angeles, California in September of this year. Come on. Give them praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give us your anointing, Father God. Hallelujah. 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 Stand up right now if you can. The Spirit of God is moving in this place. There was a woman that came up over here. You were wearing like a peach or and you were crying. Yeah, come on up here. God really highlighted you to me today. Yes, what's your name? Lift up, just put your hands towards Catherine. Catherine, you're an Esther. God has marked your life. You're not going back. Intercessors, start praying right now. Hallelujah. It is finished. It is done. You have passed the test. God is promoting you today. There's never going back. You've walked through some stuff. Oh, you've walked through some stuff, sister. But the Lord is with you. He wants you to know. Listen, there's other Esthers in this room, but I really believe the Lord changed the message for you. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you for this woman of God right now. And I just pray in Jesus' name today would mark her life that she'd never, ever go back, look back. She is not ashamed of the gospel. There's a calling on her life, Lord God. You've called her out for such a time as this. She's hungry. She's thirsty, Father God. And you are going to move in such a way that she's going to even look and say, how did this happen? But God, you were about to do something new in her life, God. And every single thing that the crows tried to take away and eat, you're going to restore and give her a double portion in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Every need shall be met. Every need shall be met in Jesus' name. Continue to pray for her. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. There's many of you that have the call on your life. You know who I'm talking about. You've been half in. You've been doubting. There's been anxiety. There's been fear. There's been doubt. And today you're saying, send me. I'll go. I am a David. I am an Esther. If that's you, just come forward here right now. Don't even think about it. Just come up. Come up all over the building. All over the building. Come on right now. Today. Today is the day. Today is the day. Fire. Fire. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new hour. Hallelujah. Start calling upon the name of the Lord right now over your life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for the Esthers, God. Thank you for the anointing, God. Thank you for the fire, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are doing a new thing. You are doing a fresh thing. Every word that was spoken was a lie. The words that were evil, that were not of you, God, let them fall down right now in the name of Jesus. Every painful word, every hurtful word, Lord, it is a new day. It is a new season. And you say, I have made plans for you. They are good plans, plans to prosper you, plans for hope in a future. My promise is yes and amen. We declare it and decree in the name of Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah, God. Thank you that you have put in a message in this man's heart, Lord God. He's a deep man. You put a message in him. He thinks about things, Lord. Thank you, God, that today is a new day, a fresh start. He is a David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They said it wouldn't work. They said he would fail, but he's not going to fail. He is on the winning team, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're restoring everything that the devil tried to steal. You're restoring everything that the devil tried to take, Lord God. It is a new season. They step into a new season now. The lies were lies. That's what they were. It was never from God. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for Esther's, Lord God. Equip them. Give them everything they need, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for David's, Lord. You've given them wisdom. You've given them a strategy, Lord God. Speak to their hearts, Lord God. This is the way forward. This is what you got to do. This is how you're going to do it. Give them the provision. Give them the strength, Lord God. Give them the wisdom. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. David's. Thank you, God. Just cry out to the Lord right now. Just cry out to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, fire in the name of Jesus. No more turning back. It is finished. It is done. Christ has won. He did it on the cross. We receive it today in Jesus' name. We receive all of it, all of it, all of it, all of it. All in, all in, all in. Never going back. All of it. Just take it, sister. Yes, right now. In the name of Jesus, all of it, all of it, all of it. Fire. Anointing, fresh fire, fresh vision. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The first day of the rest of your life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. David's, David's, David's. Thank you, God. Oh, God, you know the need. You know the need. You know the prayer. You've heard the prayer. You've heard the prayer, God. Thank you that this couple has not given up. They've not backed down. They've not grown weary. They're standing on the promise of God, which is yes and amen, hope in the future, Father God. It is not done. It is just beginning. Thank you, Lord. It's a new day. It's a new season. You're raising up a mantle of leadership. There's a leadership mantle. Thank you, God. Yes, yes. You are called for such a time as this. And the devil has said, no, it can't be you. But yes, it is you. Hallelujah. Yes, it is you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Fire! In Jesus' name, they're not done. They're not done. There's so much more to go. There's so much more to go. Give them more energy. Give them more strength, God. Give them the fire of your spirit, Lord Jesus. I see you mentoring, man. I see you being a mentor and a father figure to those that are lost. Thank you, God. People are going to come into your home and you're going to mentor them. You're going to disciple them. That's your heart. That's your heart. God is going to do it. He's doing it already. More, more, more. Fresh fire, fresh fire. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, you know what I'm talking about, sir. Yes. Jesus. Hallelujah. Breakthrough right now. Yes. Hallelujah. Just praise and press in right now. Press in, press in. Your breakthrough is now. Press in.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Oh, though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Oh Lord, you search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. And nothing else, and nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, and nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, and nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do. It's all about you, Jesus.